Kim Weaver is Director of External Affairs, the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, and coming off the monthly board meeting, my colleague Jack Moore writing about it on federalnewsradio.com. One of the things that that Jack writes that you talked about at this meeting is something that you and your colleagues, the TSP, have been in favor of for a long time, and that is moving people when they auto-enroll out of the G fund and getting them started from the very beginning in a life cycle fund that fits their potential funds with withdrawal date. What is the status of that right now, Kim?
Well, I am really pleased that tomorrow the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee is going to be holding a markup, and they're going to be marking up S-2117, which was introduced by Senator Warren. It will say that if you're auto-enrolled, you go into an age-appropriate L fund. The House side has already marked up the House bill, so I am very hopeful. I've got my fingers crossed while I'm speaking that by the end of the year, this will become law. That would be a very good thing for our participants.
Are there differences between the Senate bill and the House bill significant enough to put the kibosh to them, or do they look very much alike?
They look very much alike. There'll be minor changes needed, if any.
And so then when someone joins the federal government, this is a lot of progress from when I first started tracking this, Kim. Not only is someone auto-enrolled now, that means that they have money automatically going into a thrift savings plan account unless they choose otherwise, and I can't imagine anybody does that, or very few people do, I'm sure.
Less than 4%.
Wonderful. And so not only does that money go into a TSP account, it goes into an account that pretty much any money manager would say makes a lot more sense for somebody, especially who has the potential to be in government for a long time and have that money grow and compound itself over time.
That's exactly right. What we were finding is with auto enrollment going into the G fund, the majority of people then went on to make other choices. But there was a small minority who were sitting in the G fund. And the G fund, while a very safe fund to invest in and as part of an asset allocation, it's a great fund. It by itself is not going to keep pace with inflation, and it's not going to do you for an entire career.
Yeah, what people tell me on an ongoing basis about the G fund is you're never going to lose money in the G fund, but you're never going to make a lot either. In exchange for that security, you're going to get virtually zero reward because you have virtually zero risk.
That's exactly right.
The other issue that you talked about at this meeting is just the overall simplification of the thrift savings plan as an objective goal. And Congress tasked you with that, and yet it seems every once in a while there are efforts to try to make it a little more complicated, or we'll offer this option or that or the other thing. And the sense that I take away from Jack Moore's story on federalnewsradio.com is that despite efforts to do that, you're really sticking to your guns about trying to keep the TSP simple.
Oh, absolutely. The Congress, to give them credit, in 1986, when they passed the Federal Employees Retirement Systems Act, they really gave a lot of thought to how the TSP should be set up, that it should be a low-cost index fund, passively managed and not political. And it was, there's a lot of language in the legislative history that we have taken to heart and has guided us in all those years. And so since the very beginning, what I talked about at the board meeting yesterday was sort of since the very beginning, there have been calls to make changes to the TSP. In the late 80s, there was get out of Northern Ireland, get out of South Africa. Now there have been bills over the past, 5-6 years, get out of Darfur, get out of Iran. Those are all obviously laudable goals, but they're social goals. They're not necessarily investment goals that are right for the TSP as a whole. And then over the years, there have been efforts to add funds, mortgage-backed securities, corporate responsibilities or socially responsible, REITs, precious metals, sustainable energies. Again, as part of a portfolio, they may be perfectly acceptable for anyone, but as additions to the TSP, they would have duplicated what's already in the CNS fund and weren't necessary and would have messed with the overall goal of the TSP, which was to be a low-cost investment for our federal employees and members of the uniformed services.
There's one thing that you're considering right now, and Jack writes, board's considering offering a mutual fund window to participants that could make moot the legislative push for more customized investment options. How would that work the way that it's being considered right now, Kim? And how would it affect people who are in the TSP now and don't want anything to do with it, who are very happy with the fund choices they have?
Well, the mutual fund window was authorized by Congress back in 2009, and we're studying it now to see whether or not we'd want to offer it. And as I think last time we talked, it's not a slam dunk one way or the other. But one of the pros about offering it is for the people who really want a gold fund or who really want a REIT fund or a socially responsible investing fund, a mutual fund window allows you to take a certain amount of your TSP account or what you're invested in and put it through into a family of mutual funds that would be offered by a third-party vendor. And what that has done in other plans that we've looked at is it has satisfied those needs for the people, the small vocal minority who really see a need or really desire those specialized funds. It satisfies that need while keeping, as Jack said, those core five funds stable and intact. And if you don't want to use the mutual fund window, you don't have to use the mutual fund window. You can stay in the five basic funds and use your asset allocation that way.
And so if I stay in the five, my fees don't go up because somebody else decides they have to have this option.
That's exactly right.
They're paying the freight for that no matter what.
That is exactly right.
Jack points out from this meeting that post-separation withdrawals are currently running $2 billion higher than this point last year. More TSP participants taking out all or some of their money when they separate from federal service. Do you have a sense of why that's happening, or is it just a data point that you've collected and you're going to need to do more analysis?
Both. We have a sense that obviously, OPM is processing more retirements, therefore we can expect to see more people using TSP, which is retirement money, for that purpose. But we also are going to do a survey of people who have withdrawn either all or part of their money to get a sense of what it was they were looking for. Because you certainly can retire and leave your money in the TSP. We encourage that. It's a low-cost plan. And we want to talk to our participants who took their money to see, was there something that we didn't offer that they wanted? Were there arguments being offered by their financial provider that we can address, or we can change our service offerings? So we know that people are retiring. Baby boomers are booming. But it is time for us to do a little research as well to see if our services need to be altered in any way.